speak about
the concept of Kedusha Sachayim. Rashi there is commenting to really quote Chazal on Vayamas Terach Becharan, and Rashi points out that the numbers are off in terms of the history. Terach really was alive for a considerable period of time, you know, afterwards. And of course, Rashi quotes the first day on the Medrash about Kibud Av V'Em. Actually, spoke about that, I think, about 2 years ago here. But then finally, Rashi v'od Sha'arishayim af b'chayeyim kruyim mesim v'atzadikim af b'misasan kruyim chayim. Shenemar b'nayahu ben Yehoyada, actually ben ish chay. We're talking about the ben ish chay in the base Medrash today. This idea of ben ish chay, meaning this idea that chayim and mesim, which of course, generally speaking, refer to people as being alive or not being alive, but on another level, refers to the impact that they have on the living, and you know, the quality of life and the impact that they have. And really, what Chazal are telling us is that you know, there are people who, as Chazal themselves say, are sifsoseim dovavos bekever. They continue to be mashpia and to have impact on everybody else's quality of life, even once they've left the historical scene. And that's a very remarkable legacy. There are other people who, you know, even when they're alive, don't have the kind of impact that they should have, or they have negative impact. And you know, such individuals almost you know, can be considered not. The first group outlives their life, and the others, you know, don't even reach, you know, their actual days. It's for that reason that we speak about kedushas hachayim, and that's really. I just want to pick up on what I started with last week about the concept of kedusha in just a second, and especially to compare it to a little bit more to tahara. We speak about tumas mace, and when it comes to a mace, right, the body of a mace is really avi avos hatuma, and we speak about kedushas hachayim, and partly, as I'll explain in just a second, that reflects these categories. The idea of kedusha is something where it spreads and has impact. We associate it with you know, prisha v'havdalah, you know, in a very technical way, as I'll explain. But really, the need for the prisha and the havdalah, kind of a bubble, is to allow the full impact of the kedusha to take place. And that's why it's we speak about chayim, always life, as kedushas chayim. The idea of kedusha and chayim are inextricably intertwined together. You can't have chayim without some sense of kedusha, and you can't have kedusha in the context of misa. Misa is the concept that we associate with tuma, which you know, we'll discuss in just a minute, is in many respects you know, the opposite of kedusha. Tuma is the opposite of kedusha, even though tahara and chilo really are terms that are quite different from one another, as we'll explain. So when Talmid Chacham obviously leaves the historical scene, but we speak about him as Sifsosav Dovos Bekeber, we're really saying that his sense of Kedusha, the Mesiras Nefesh, of Kedoshim Tiyu, the values that that person reflects, in his life, the fact that these things continue and they continue to be mashpia, that they grow and that they continue to influence, which is an aspect of kedusha. And as I was saying the other day, kedusha is connected with intrinsic sanctity, intrinsic status, and also with nitzchias, with the idea of a permanence. So that's really the idea of that continuation. And you know, it's well known that in the olam of the yeshivos, you know, in Talmud Torah, we usually speak in the you know, in the present tense and not in the past tense. You don't usually say the Rambam said, at least not in the. If you're writing something, you know, it's one thing. But when you speak in the context of a shir, we always say, "What does the Rambam say?" or "The Rambam says," and that's because sifsosehem dovvos bekever. So when a big Talmud Chacham leaves the scene, you know, people are always inspired to find out what he represented, and you know, that's the idea of hesped as well. A hesped is really not just, you know, a coda. It's not just way of nice way of Chabad way of saying goodbye. Hesped itself is supposed to be really Talmud Torah, which is why the hesped of a Talmud Chacham is something that you know is permitted on days when there's normally not a hesped, Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, etc. Because you know, a hesped for a regular person, Sefer Toldos Adam, isn't necessarily Talmud Torah, but the hesped of a Talmud Chacham, where his learning and his impact and the values that he stood for are intertwined with who he was, in some respect is learning. It's Torah itself, and therefore that's part really of appreciation. We shouldn't wait till people leave the historical scene to understand what they stand for and what their contribution is, and to be inspired by it and to be influenced by it. But it's human nature sometimes that you know, only when people, you know, are no longer accessible do we feel the full impact of their loss. And that's true for, I think, all you know, great Talmidei Chachamim. So it's really in that spirit of the Hespedim of today. I just thought I would speak, you know, continue really, it just happens to work also into the topic, that we began speaking last week about the Vayivarech and Vayikadesh, you know, being a an important feature in Shabbos. And especially the idea of Vayikadesh and Tahara, I just wanted to develop that a little bit further in light of then this idea of Kedusha Sakayim and Tumas Meis as well. So what we pointed out was that the Torah uses the expression Vayivarech in Bereshis in connection with Shabbos, but it had already used that expression earlier with respect to Piria Berivia twice, one with respect to the animals and the other with respect to human beings. But the expression Vayikadesh, Kedusha, really finds its first true expression and embodiment in Kedusha Shabbos. I think that that's always, I think in the Torah, our assumption always is that nothing is coincidental, and that you know, the first appearance of an important concept and term is something which is paradigmatic, where it establishes a certain standard and blueprint. So I would say about Shabbos, and that's what I started talking about last week, is that both the combination of Vayivarech Vayikadesh, which seems to be at first glance you know, either impossible or at least unlikely, because one is about Bracha and Shefa, and the other is about Havdalah and Prisha. But as I mentioned then, the Sam Sofer just has a nice pithy line, but this is clearly what others are struggling to say as well. The very possibility of integrating Vayivarech and Vayikadesh is a very Jewish concept, and has its roots in Shabbos. So Shabbos isn't just the first Vayikadesh, it's also the first integration of Bracha and Kedusha. And then the Medrash goes on to explain, like, what are these different, what is Vayivarech and what is Vayikadesh? Again, they discuss that a little bit in the context of the Man. I think the Man story, because, number one, it highlights you know, these two ideas. Again, the double Man, not only for Shishi and Shvi, but the double Man for Shvi on Shishi, and the same Man, you know, which doesn't fall on Shabbos, is also a way of highlighting that, you know, you can take the same, you know, you can look at the same issue in two ways. It's both the Man, right, and you have Vayivarech and Vayikadesh, and clearly the Man is an example. It's not meant to be the whole story. So what do we mean when we say Vayivarech and Vayikadesh? So I say the very fact that some of the Mefarshim were extremely troubled by it, to the extent, again, what the Ibn Ezra quotes in the name of the Gaonim, and the Ramban quotes it as well, that Vayivarech Vayikadesh doesn't refer to the day, it refers to the Gavra, somebody who is Shomer Shabbos Kiyochaso, is Mivorach, right, and Mikudash. So that's how they interpret it. Clearly, you know, what troubled them was, how do you talk about a day as having the properties of Bracha or Kedusha? But you could talk about people having that, not days. But most of the Farshim really try to get beyond Mivorach and Mikudash, although I'm sure that that's also true, and really do kind of suggest that the day of Shabbos itself has certain, you know, features that really transcend the physical. and we can really speak about Shabbos as a day, you know, whether it's the Neshama Yaseira, which is connected to the Vayivarech, whatever that means. But the point is that there are elements on Shabbos where even nature, you know, kind of, you know, cooperates in establishing that it, that it's a different kind of day. That's the way that Chazal speak about Vayivarech and Vaykadesh, and the Medrash in particular speaks about, you know, physical expressions of Shabbos really being different. Hard for us to understand what that means, but the very fact that they speak that way is itself very important. Again, the Radak tries for something in between. Later on, you know, many centuries way later, Shamshon Fal Hirsch also tried for something in between. Namely, Shabbos is a day which is conducive to developing or cultivating, you know, the tchunot, the features, the midos of bracha and of kedusha. That's different than saying the person who's shomer Shabbos is mivarach or mikudash. But it's also not as far as saying that there are like physical slash spiritual, you know, elements, you know, to Shabbos being a different kind of a day, a distinctive day. But either way, the idea of Vayivarech Vayikadesh and the fact that it can express itself, you know, in the very same area, the mun, but of course goes very well, very much beyond that, is clearly an important idea. In addition to everything else, the idea that you can integrate seeming opposites, the Vayivarech Vayikadesh also establishes a very important principle in our own limud so far, and that is the positive and the seeming, or the kumvase and the sheval tasa of Shabbos. I wouldn't even say the positive and the negative, because it's clear that, you know, we don't view Shabbos ever as a negative. Again, the tzedukim who are sitting home in the dark may be viewed it that way, and secular or outsiders, secular Jews or outside the Jewish people who view Shabbos as something that is prohibitive, you know, may look at it in a negative way. But clearly, as we'll more fully established, but already spoke of last week, Kedusha is not something that is foreboding and that is negative, although it sometimes expresses itself a little bit, at least, or superficially, in Sheval Tasa. But the idea that there is an Aseh, an Olav, that it expresses itself in the passive and in the and then the active, and that, you know, refraining, while it is also a kiyum, is one aspect, but also embracing and having positive tochen in Shabbos is a different aspect. That is something that is captured in number of the various parshios, I would say almost in all the parshios of Shabbos, by the dual emphasis that the Torah has. And of course in Bereishis, again in the Aseres HaDibros, it's Zachar v'Shamar, you know, b'dibor echad. Well, we'll see some of the other parshios maybe if we continue with this topic. In Bereishis, it's through Vayivarech and Vayikadesh. Whatever we mean more specifically about what these are, the Vayivarech clearly is accentuating, you know, the obvious benefits of Shabbos, you know, both in terms of the, you know, mystically or what otherwise, the day or the conduciveness of developing that midah, or even within the Gavra, the fact that he is Mivarach. Whereas the Kedusha part, as, you know, expressed by the mun, but as other mefarshim say, forget about the mun, or mun is just an example, through shvisa mimalacha, right, constitutes the other component. But as we've explained, there could be no, you know, vayibarech if there was no vayikadesh, just like there probably could be no zachar if there wasn't a shamar. It's when you have both together and each one feeding off each other that you have really an extraordinary spiritual opportunity. So, in a way, again, the focus on Kedusha, which is the more subtle, the more powerful, the more subtle, the more controversial, let's say, the more easily, more prone to being misunderstood, you know, becomes a particularly important thing. And this, as I say, is the first example of Kedusha. We spoke last time about Kedusha being expressed in Kedushas HaMakom, in Kedushas HaZman, in Kedushas HaGavra. But the beginning with Shabbos is something which is very, very critical. And as I said then, the relationship between Kedusha and Tahara is something to examine, because normally people put these two things together. They're both kind of mysterious and transcendent. They're both not from the real physical world that we are more, you know, familiar with. If we talk about, Siddharim, so, you know, the the Moed and the Nashim and the Nezikin. You know, these are all things that, you know, are very easily understood. The Zroim, even to some extent, is understandable. But the you know, the Kadshim and the Taharos, they seem to be, you know, much more driven, Zroim to a lesser extent, by what I like to call an inner logic. You know, they have you know, inner cohesiveness, but clearly they're a purely spiritual world, and that's very challenging. To try to figure out the difference between, you know, Kedusha and Tahara is a difficult thing. The fact that there's an overlap between them, and that mostly the significance of Tahara is in the world of Kedusha, you know, increases the you know, complication of understanding the difference between them, but it also provides a bit of a clue for it. Again, you know, in the context of Achilas Kadshim and visiting the Beis HaMikdash, a person has to be Tahar. Kohanim, you know, even in terms of Tumas Meis, are not allowed to be Mistame. Although what exactly that means, that again is another great example of the, you know, connection between a Meis, Tumas Meis, you know, and its special status, because a Kohen is not prohibited in terms of other Tumah, is only prohibited in terms of the Tumah, Tumas Meis, and you could even argue that it's the Tziruf to Tumas Meis, or Tziruf to Misa, even more so than the actual practical fact that he becomes Tame, you know, which is the issue and the problem. But the point is that Tahara mostly expresses itself, right, in the context of Kedusha. Chayv Adam L'Taher Atzma B'Regel, as you know, I think Sam brought up in the Sukkah the other day, for those who were there, you know, is a very interesting concept, and definitely, you know, it has a connection, at least initially some connection, to Aliyah L'Regel and to the bringing of Karbanos. Now, personally, I think that when the Rambam says that there's an obligation on the Regel, you know, to be Tahar, so you'll be Nechonim, that you'll be in a state where you're Ra'i, you know, to bring Karbanos, I personally think that that isn't just a Hechsher, it's not a means to that end, but it applies possibly Bizman Azan, possibly to other Moadim. It's a Shir, you know, it's not a coincidence that you're obligated to bring, you know, Karbanos on the Moed, and it's not a coincidence that you're obligated to be Tahar when you bring those Karbanos. And for that reason, it can extend beyond, and because there is a notion of Kedushas HaRegel, it's a Kedushas HaZman, so there's particular significance and importance for having Tahara Sagavra in the context of Kedushas HaZman, and being Roy Lahavi Karbanos, even if, because Bizman HaZeh we don't have a Mikdash, or for some other reason, you weren't able, for no fault, through no fault of your own, you know, to make the trip of Aliyah L'Regel, there would still be that obligation or that kiyum. And what that establishes is that even the Kedushas HaZman, you know, has a notion of Tahara. But once again, the idea of Tahara is something that expresses itself mostly in Kedusha, at least according to the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. And it's possible that according to the Sefer HaChinuch, you know, being a Parush and being Tahar has a value, you know, in its own right, not just connected, you know, to Kedusha, even in this broader sense of Kedusha. But the fact is that, you know, I wouldn't say despite that connection, both despite and because of that connection, the differences between Tahara and Kedusha are still very, very, very clear. As we mentioned, Kedusha is connected to permanence. It's connected to something which is intrinsic. Kedushas Haguf is something which is mostly irreversible, unless to begin with the Kedusha, you know, was of a different variety, or something happens to the object which makes it no longer Roy LeKedusha, and then there are elements in it or dimensions of it that can still be spliced away, you know, and find other homes. That's a different story. But mostly, the model, the pure concept of Kedusha is one which is intrinsic and irreversible and permanent, and so on. And it's also one which is inherently poshet to other things. It's one in which requires some sort of human initiative, yuzma, and it's one which, you know, by its own nature also spreads to other things. There's a certain infectious quality to Kedusha. Even as there's an infectious quality to Kedusha, there is an interesting issue. You know, infectious quality in some cases that really, you know, is poshet to Kedusha Bekula, but in other cases, which, you know, creates a Tosefes Kedusha, but which can't completely simulate the real Kedusha, because the real Kedusha is still something which is intrinsic, unalterable, permanent, you know, etc. And that is true very much, you know, it depends on what type of Kedusha we're talking about, but Tosefes Kedusha of Kedusha Sazman is a great example of that. Not only can you, but it's almost like automatic that there's a Kedusha pre and a Kedusha post, but the Kedusha pre and post isn't identical with the, you know, fullness of the actual Kedusha. Both of those things are important. Moreover, sometimes there's a, you know, there's a Kedusha, you know, with the enthusiastic, you know, forward-looking embrace of what is anticipated, what is about to be. That's a Kedusha, which is a kind of a Kiddush. And then there is a, you know, Tosefes Kedusha, which also at some point has to give way to a Havdalah. There's a difference between, you know, Kedusha and Havdalah. Both Kedusha, both Kiddush and Havdalah, according to the Rambam, are really two sides, in Shabbos, are two sides of the same coin. We'll speak more about this in other contexts. It's very important for Dinei Kiddush and Dinei Havdalah. But the Rambam's formulation in Hilchos Shabbos is that Kiddush and Havdalah, you know, recognizing the boundaries of Shabbos, if you will, is something which is Mishutaf, which is shared by Knisa and Yetzia. Even though, in the case of Knisa, you know, it's marked by Kiddush, and in the case of Yetzia, it's marked by Havdalah. Those are two very different, you know, perspectives. Either way, Tosefes, which we'll talk about more, which some views in Chazal make very important, for Yom Kippur certainly, and also for Shabbos. Again, some people say, you know, Vaychal Elokim, Vayom HaShvi refers to Tosefes. Tosefes is also a way, as I explained earlier, to highlight the dialectic of, on the one hand, imitating the Rabbonu Shel Olam, but at the same time acknowledging that you're only a Basar Vadam, that you can't, you know, mark time kichut asaira, and it isn't just a technicality that since you can't, you better be careful. It also highlights, you know, in principle, the idea that man is limited, and even as he, you know, mimics his bore in shvisa malacha, he also has to have an additional shvisa malacha, which underscores that he's not the bore, even in the shvisa context. Tosefes does all of those things, and that's why I think Tosefes is very, very critical. But either way, the point I'm trying to make is that Kedusha, starting from Shabbos, but also being expressed in Kedusha's Karbanos and other things, is something that spreads by its nature, that is infectious in a good way. Even as you recognize its boundaries, again, something which is nogea to a klishares, you know, becomes kadosh. There's Kedushas Peh, there's Kedushas Klishares. They're very different. We talk about Kedushas Peh in the context of Karbanos in terms of Behema, and in other things, you know, we speak about the Kedusha of being Nogea B'Klishares. Again, our Belbel has a very nice letter in the back of Kedusha Griz discussing those differences. But the idea is idea of something which, as I say, you know, builds on itself and impacts other things in a way that is very powerful. I think for that reason also, when we speak about a Kedusha in terms of Havdalah and Prisha, which we do, Chazal always do, the point is that we shouldn't see the Havdalah of Kedusha the same way that we see the Havdalah of Havdalah. Like I said before, there's a difference between Kiddush and Abdallah, even though both are marking boundaries and both are a sense of Prisha. If you look at the Parshios of Achrei Mos and Kedoshim, which are very much connected, we usually actually read them together, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, but they're connected because they also overlap in some of the dinim, particularly some of the dinim of Arayos and other things. So if you look at the psukim there, noted this in the past, so Achrei Mos is very much emphasizing, in the Mikra, in other words, Havdalah. And Kedoshim, Kishmo Kenu, emphasizes Kedusha. You can have Prisha, when you're being Mabdil from, and when you're being Makdish to. And the effect, of creating boundaries is the same, in some respects, just like Kiddush and Havdalah, they're opposites. And in the same way, we speak about being Kadesh Atzmo B'Mutarlo, and the Ramban speaks about, Al Tehi Naval B'Shus HaTorah, those are not, obviously, a stira to Prisha and Havdalah, but they're this dimension of Prisha and Havdalah, and I think that they too flow from this notion of Kedusha being something that is intrinsic and that is inherently infectious in a good way, as I say, or something which stimulates or spreads its own Kedusha. Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutarlo is a way of saying that that the Isurim or the Chiyuvim that we confront, right, should not be limited. They expand in a certain way. That's what Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutarlo. If this is the limit, right, it's important to be able to take it beyond that. And that's exactly what the Ramban means when he says Al Tehi Naval B'Shus HaTorah. Ramban associates a Kedusha with not only laws, norms, actions, but with values. Because values are the assimilation and the internalization, right, of the norms. So that the fact that it becomes part of you, it becomes something permanent to you. It's not just a superficial thing that you do, but it's something that becomes transformative, which is another factor in Kedusha. Kedusha transforms and redefines an object. That's why it's able to also affect, in various ways, other things. So that is expressed by, being more than just an action. And by Kadesh Atzmo B'Mutar, and especially by being a value, Al Tehi Naval B'Shus HaTorah. So we speak about Shabbos also as being a value, and not just being limited to, abstaining from Malacha, but it's the idea of interruption. We'll still speak more about that. Shvisa, the different phrases that are used for the Menucha of Shabbos. There's Vayanach, Vayinafash, right, Vayishbos. They appear in different parshios. They have slightly different meanings. All of these contribute to our notion of what Shvisa B'Shabbos really is. And again, the idea of internalizing Shabbos, because it's a Dabar, it's the first, it's the paradigm of Dabar Shebekdusha, of Shabbos being transformative to the Jewish people, is a critical aspect of all of this as well. And that, in this sense, it's very different than the world of Tahara and of Tuma. Tahara essentially reflects an incredibly rigorous standard. But it's not something that you take initiative really to achieve, right? It's something where you need, let's say, tremendous effort to maintain. A person is born in a state of Tahara. Essentially, Tumah is what spreads. Tumah is a bad infection, obviously, not a good one. There are various methods of how that infection, spreads. See, we have a chulin representative here, and cherev harei uchalo, right? So, there are all sorts of levels, of tumah, and sometimes you have, right, the capacity to pass on tuma without even losing, superconducting capacity in Tumah. But the point is that, essentially, Kedusha is about spreading Kedusha, and it's about, climbing, different levels. And the opposite of Kedusha is Chulin. And Chulin is losing, that initiative of Kedusha. There are no levels of Chulin or of Chol, right? Chulin is essentially not a bad term, it's a neutral term. It's the neutral term which becomes negative in the context of having abandoned, the ideal pursuit or the ideal level of Kedusha. If something requires Kedusha or is in a state of Kedusha, so allowing it to become neutral, to be chulin or chol, right, is a chilul. It becomes a desecration. But what makes it a desecration is where it was and what its potential was. The fact that you have essentially squandered, let's say, that spiritual opportunity, that can turn into a desecration and not simply into a neutral state, speaks a volume to the Torah's and Halacha's approach. But essentially, there's nothing wrong with the term chol if not for the context of Kedusha. It's mostly a neutral idea. In the case of Tumah v'Tahara, what you have is exactly the opposite. People are born in a state of Tahara. People who being alive inoculates you in some things, from being a Tameh or certain types of Tumah, right? Tumas Sheretz and all these things can't apply, when the animal is alive. The Avia Bosa Tumah of mace can't apply, when you're alive. Just the state of being is a state. You start off in the state of Tahara. You reestablish Tahara through a Mayan or through a mikvah, which, as a lot of the Mepharshim explain, is like, going back, to the roots of the world and to nature. A mechubar is something which cannot become tameh. Tumah, on the other hand, as I say, has madregos, and tumah is something which spreads. Again, it spreads according to all sorts of different rules, which themselves are very fascinating and possibly hashkafically very significant. What it takes to pass on tumah and to spread tumah, and how different types of tumah spread differently, as we discussed. Laharei, tumas meis, ketumas zav, ketumas sheretz, and understanding each one obviously is an important part of that world as well. But it's tumah which spreads, not tahara. Tahara is a certain status. When we speak about there being levels of tahara, we don't really mean that there are levels of tahara. What we mean is that there are levels of tumah, and there are levels of prisha. But there really is only one tahara. So the idea is that in order, for a person to fully integrate into the world of Kedusha, he has to be in that, he has to get back to that initial ideal high state of Tahara. But it's the Kedusha which is the ambition and the rise in level. Tahara is not something which is permanent, and it's not something which is intrinsic. On the contrary, that's the whole point. It's very easy to lose your status of Tahara. Now, that doesn't make Kedusha more or less important than Tahara. They're different. Sometimes maintaining, that ideal but organic status quo of Tahara is a greater challenge than, achieving, through initiative and a burst of awareness and commitment, to intrinsic Kedusha, achieving that particular state. The point is that you have to have a confluence. You need to be tahar in order to take advantage of Kedusha. But in other respects, the categories of Tumah and of Kedusha are very, very are very different. In this respect, when we speak about Shabbos, you know, as being connected particularly with Klal Yisrael, we once again are referring to the concept of Kedusha. Again, we'll conclude at this point, but it's not just a nice drasha. There's just a lot in the Medrash and in Chazal about this idea of Shabbos being, you know, the Ben Zug, you know, of Klal Yisrael. There are different versions of it, but, you know, basically, you know, because of the numbers, you know, being odd and not even, and also the order of creation. So this idea that Klal Yisrael and Shabbos have some special connection. It's connected to the idea of the Rambam in Perek Lamed, Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Tasvav, which we spoke of previously. And that is that while Rashi explains Mumer Lechalas HaShabbos, Mumer Lechal Torah Kula, in terms of being Makhish Maisa Bereishis, it is the view of the Rambam that it's based on Os He. This is the Os between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. In a way, it's the idea of Kedushas Hazman and Kedushas HaGavra, Melechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. So on one level, it's a simple matter that, you know, as the Rambam explains in Perek Lamed Halacha Tazvav, about a Zar is a Mumer Lechal Torah Kula, because if there's no Ribbono Shel Olam, if there's no Metzaveh, then there's nothing. And that's what I mean when I keep calling it a linchpin, meaning you could do the Taryav Mitzvos, but they're not Taryav Mitzvos anymore. They're just nothing, basically. I mean, they're, you know, a good code, but, you know, they have no religious significance. And absent religious significance, you know, they're something totally different. Every one of them is something totally different. The problem of Shabbos, as the Rambam understands it, because he doesn't think that, you know, Maisa Bereishis is a Ikar Emuna. He thinks it's true, it's important, but he doesn't think it's more than that. So it's the relationship to Klal Yisrael. But that's every bit as essential as, excuse me, as Avodah Zarah. Right, if there's no mitzuvah, you know, that is going to be committed to a certain kind of lifestyle, you know, then there's no tzivui either. Right? You need both components, you know, to generate a halacha, you know, which is built on the concept of kedusha. You need a mitzaveh, that's where Avodah Zarah is a stira minei ubei, and you need a mitzuveh, you need a mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh. So in that sense, the os, you know, the laishkenu bo arelim, the goy sheshava aschayev misa, the idea that Shabbos, while it's universal, is something which is completely, you know, belongs to Klal Yisrael. That's the bazig zugo. That's the marriage, you know. That's the lachadodi, if you will, you know, between Klal Yisrael and Shabbos. It's this idea of organic and intrinsic kedusha, which infects in a good way, or affects is a better way to say it. Impacts, transforms other things that even just come in contact with it. And where even when you know the boundaries, you know, the impact is still there. You know, it's the kiddush beforehand and the havdalah afterwards, but the idea that every day is Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, or at least every part of the week is either Lifnei Shabbos or La'achar Shabbos. These ideas are the ideas of Shabbos, but they're equally the ideas of Klal Yisrael. That's why you know, even a Gershon is Gayer, Sherotel, you know, Lachs or Lesuro, you know, is Yisrael Afa Pishakata Yisraelu. Again, Sefer Eshkol and the Eri comments aside for the moment, but even with them, Kedushas Yisrael is something which is intrinsic. And again, it's not subject to, you know, to being, there's no get, and there can be difficult times, there can be separations, which are sad in their own right. You know, can be ki almana, but there's no get, and there's no, you know, there can be chilul kedusha, but there's never hafkas hakedusha completely. And all these features that we find in Shabbos, we find as well in Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we shouldn't be surprised, which is our next topic tomorrow, that, you know, Shabbos's impact isn't just on the week, and isn't just on, you know, the Tosefes Lefanov and Le'acharav, but Shabbos's impact as a Kedushas Hazman is on the concept of Kedushas Hazman and on other Kedushas Hazman. And that expresses itself, I think, in two ways. Number one, in being Tchil Mikroi Kodesh, and having, you know, put its imprimatur on all of the Yamim Tovim as a result, even though seemingly what it has to export, you know, seems intrinsic to it. But that's the way of Kedusha, that Kedusha, you know, is also by Yibarech, even in its being by Kadesh, namely that it spills over in terms of that kind of impact. Moreover, whenever you have the, you know, the congruence, when you have the coming together of Shabbos and another Kedushas Hazman, there too you have something which is more than the sum of its parts. And that too is a feature of Kedusha. So whether it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos and Yom Tov, the whole discussions of the Gemara and Erevin and Beitzah and so on, whether Kedushas or Shtei Kedushas, the very note, we normally paskins about Shabbos and Yom Tov that it's Shtei Kedushas. You know, I would have asked Yaakov, you know, what he thinks about it, but, you know, that's probably what he would have said, right? Shtei Kedushas. It's a coincidence of the calendar. But the fact that there is a view in the Gemara that it's Kedusha Achas, and that would say Yom Kippur for the Rambam is Kedusha Achas, and the fact that even though it's, you know, Shtei Kedushas, there are still echoes, or I like to call echoes, of having, you know, certain impact that sometimes looks like Kedusha Achas, namely where the, you know, either the actual day that, that is shared by both, or the consecutive days, one or the other, you know, somehow is transformative, is very much, again, a feature of Kedusha. It's part of that spillover. So we speak about Kedusha Shabbos and Chilul Shabbos, and then its impact on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Yom Tov, Shabbos Achar Yom Tov, Yom Tov Achar Shabbos, and especially on the Yom Tovim themselves, the idea of Shabbos Ikri Yom Tov, Yom Tov Ikri Shabbos, I think that that too is very much a function of the Vayikadesh. The other expression of it, this will certainly end, is with regard to Shemitah. We speak about Shabbos Haaretz. And again, there's a lot of evidence that, you know, and of course Shabbos on Yom Kippur, which we spoke already about, that particularly has its impact. But even things like Shemitah, there's a lot of evidence that the Shabbos Haaretz that we speak of in Parshas Bahar isn't just a melitza or a, you know, a common term, but that literally there's something about Shabbos in the year of Shemitah, to the extent that the Sifra really says, oh, maybe you don't have to observe Shabbos, you know, during the Shemitah year, Chas v'Shalom, but that's the, you know, not a real Havamina, but like a comment, Kamash Malan, that isn't true. Or the Harishu, the Katsir, relating to both Parshios, there is this implication that when we speak about Shemitah, Shabbos Haaretz, there's something about Kedusha Shabbos, which, you know, which has been applied in some way or manifest in Shemitah. And that is very much part or symptom of this idea of Kedusha. Not of Tahara, but of Kedusha. Okay, we'll stop here. And yeah.